everyone. Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. I hope that those of you in the U.S. had a great Thanksgiving, and we are on the road to binging holiday horror in December, so let me know what the first holiday horror movie is going to be that you watch. I watched Black Christmas 2019 last night. I loved it. I love that one. Yeah. This week on the pod, I have an interview that came from all the way across the ocean with Larry from the Road to Nowhere podcast. We had his co-host Andy Connor on last year, and I was super excited to chat with Larry this time around. He told me why he loves giallo films so much, why he hates jump scares, and how him and Andy came up with the idea for Road to Nowhere. You might also hear me on a future episode of their podcast talking about Mike Flanagan. One last thing before we get into this episode, if you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated as it really helps people to find us. I think I've rambled enough, so let's get into this episode with Larry. Hey, Larry, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
My name is Larry Reed. I am a co-host on Road to Nowhere podcast. I'm also a writer for The Geek Show, and soon to be another show coming up soon as well, another bit talking about action movies. But yeah, generally just a podcaster, writer, big movie nerd. Allison can see my big Terminator 2 poster by image now. But so just a massive film nerd. Horror mostly is what I'm into. Horror and action are my biggest passions.
Awesome. I know my friend Matt would really love your Terminator 2 poster. So he's going to be excited to hear about it.
Yeah, awesome.
But first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
It probably has to be John Carpenter's The Thing.
Nice. Why that one?
I think it's one of the ones I kind of first remember seeing when I was a kid, being shown it and being like, literally like, this movie is just everything that it encompasses kind of a horror movie, because I was a big Kurt Russell fan from seeing Big Trouble Little China. That was a big movie when I was a kid. So seeing him sort of like in a scary role, he was sort of a big action hero of mine when I was a kid. And the practical effects are amazing. The kind of tense atmosphere of it. And John Carpenter, I love John Carpenter on the whole. All his movies are just amazing. Even Ghost from Mars, I'll go back for that movie. I think it's just all encompassing. I think everything comes together. The soundtrack's amazing. The story's really good. The acting's amazing in it. The practical effects are just stunning by Rob Bottin. I think they're, even now, when I watch them now, I've seen it so many times now, it's still kind of very impressive to me. It's probably one of my favorite. Not only my favorite scary movies, but one of my favorite movies of all time. About everything, basically.
Awesome. Have you seen the 2011 one that they did, prequel?
I've seen bits of it, yeah. I got kind of quite into I've seen kind of part of it, maybe half of it, I think. Then I sort of like, I just couldn't do it, really. But I've watched a lot of stuff about, again, the practical effects side of it, what they were going to do with it, which I find is quite more, a bit more interesting than the actual film. But as a fine film, it's not bad, but you can't really, you're not batting a home run when you've got such a big film to kind of to try and remake, essentially. I know this guy comes from a different way, but when you've got such a hill to climb, it's always going to be a kind of hard job to do.
So how did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
It's probably through my mum. My mum, and tangentially my dad a little bit, more my mum. Mum was very lax in terms of what she would let us watch when we were kids, as well as my gran as well. Like, strangely enough, she would babysit us, we'd go to the video store and like rent these movies. And because maybe they had puppets or maybe they looked like kind of like stupid little monsters, she went, oh, that's for kids, that's fine. Not really a reason, like it was like an 18 or something. Like, so I got to see things like Meet the Feebles, and I got to see things like The Willies, which is a weird, really weird anthology movie, like Creepshow. And it was really scary. And I watched this stuff, and I look at my brother going, "Are we allowed to watch this? Like, what's the? It's like the obviously illicit of like, should we be watching this? But we're getting to watch this as like quite adult. We're only like 5 or 6 or 7 or maybe. But we're getting to watch these quite scary and quite graphic movies. And So I think my mum is definitely the biggest kind of catalyst in that. And now, like, even my later life, we talk about, we go to see scary movies together, we watch stuff together, we kind of swap DVDs and like Shudder. We're gonna go talk about our Shudder picks and stuff like that. So yeah, it's always been my mum is been the kind of catalyst in terms of getting me into scary movies and just being like not being like scared of showing me stuff. We had a big kind of conversations over here recently into the house. We're having dinner and we're talking about like, when I watched Poltergeist for the first time when I was a kid. Accidentally, my dad had taped over my Jungle Book video with Poltergeist. So halfway through like the bare necessities, it gets into like the big kind of Carol Ann bit. I was like, oh, what's this? And it was still really scary. So it was really kind of, it's, I think it's just a kind of big, like a lot of people, it's just your parents being sort of cool enough or lax enough to say, yeah, you can watch this, it's fine. So that's why I got to see like films like Predator and stuff as well when I was a kid, because they were just in the house. Like we had a lot of kind of horror movies and action movies and movies that probably weren't for kids really. We were just kind of given access to, so we had a video player like in our room, so we could just go like right, sneak this upstairs and like watch this like
Yeah.
as a, you know, mom and dad are asleep, you know, with headphones on kind of thing. Pretty much, yeah. So that's it, really, yeah.
That's awesome. I love that your mom helped get you into
Yeah.
horror and your grandma.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Accidentally, I don't think she wanted me to do that because she was quite. In the later life, she was like, when I watched the X-Files, she would stand in front of the television. I'm like, what are you, it's like, I've seen worse than this already, Grace. It's like, get out of the way.
So why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
I don't know. It's like, it's, you would think it'd be very strange for us to love blood and gore and guts and not, I'm not a big fan as much of the extreme stuff, but I'm sort of learning a little bit through like our podcast and meeting some people that are into more extreme stuff. But I don't know. I think it's maybe just the like we talk about the illicitness of it. I think it's the watching stuff that you know that even people who are kind of quite afraid of death, fine. Like I'm petrified of that stuff. It's like I've you know terrors about it completely. But I think watching these things, I seem to be like okay with other people getting slaughtered. So I think that's a bit. I think it's maybe a kind of mortality thing. It's about like seeing people get murdered and sort of go, well, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm not like even though that we're just sort of march. I mean, this is it's kind of really morbid. So it's I think it's just a kind of it's just seeing something illicit and seeing something we're normally scared of and on the kind of big screen or in the small screen at home and things that we're kind of maybe sort of frightened and seeing that things that are unknown. I think that's for me. I've like somebody that's like thinks he's seen ghosts and you know is quite interested in the kind of paranormal and stuff. I think that's a big thing for me. It's about seeing stories about the kind of strange things that are going on or have happened or historically happened. I think that's part of my interest in it, I think.
Awesome. So you've watched a lot of horror movies over your life.
Yes.
I'm assuming that what scares you has changed. What scares you today in film and in real life?
I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, recently. When I've been watching stuff for kind of podcasts and such stuff for like research. Even though I can handle slashers and I love slashers, I love giallos so much. When it comes to like ghost stuff and like I'm really, really bad with jump scares. As much as like I've been watching I watched Oculus and Ouija for the podcast recently, in the last couple of days, in fact, and I just could not jump at stuff. Like just I can handle stuff that's really gory and like graphic, but I can't handle jump scares. I just find it's like oh, like noises is what scares me, I think.
Yeah.
And things in the dark. I think it's always kind of creepy people with creepy faces is what scares me. Like the thing that most scared me the most recently in big kind of horror movies was in Hereditary, where you're sort of kind of where it all sort of kicks off a little bit more. The sort of like a kind of like a naked person in the darkness, just smiling.
Yeah.
That really creeped me out. That was one of the things that creeped me out the most about that movie. And a film that's like completely filled with things that creep you out.
Yeah.
That stuff kind of freaks me out. Like sort of pleasant people, I suppose. People being nice and like in like kind of weird sort of way. That kind of scares me quite a lot. Yeah. So yeah, just the kind of like just the weird sort of like old people and children. I think as well. Like. Creepy children are sort of a big thing as well, like scare me.
Yeah, children are frightening.
I think because I've got to, young sort of niece and nephew, and they're kind of like very quiet and stuff. I think I'm like just I've noticed like I don't want it to be creepy, so I'm just looking out for them. I think it's a orphan fan in me. It just looks out for little children, little people.
That's understandable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of like people in the dark and weird faces, has Smile or Barbarian gotten to Glasgow yet?
We've seen Barbarian. Smile, I haven't watched yet. It's on demand now, so I'm going to watch that because I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, Barbarian, I really loved. We just podcasted about it maybe just in October, end of October. Nicely got to go down to the premiere for it.
Oh, nice.
I was left in the dust. Thank you very much,
Oh,
Andy.
no.
No. It's just a
Andy.
working thing. Yeah, but we got to watch it on demand and stuff. And I think it's probably my favorite horror film of the year, I would say. I'd maybe have to sort of proper sit down and think about it, but in terms of the horror film that I'm looking for, it definitely lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
But it's also quite, it's quite, we're not obviously not going to talk about any spoilers in it, but it's very fun.
Yes,
It's
it is.
it sort of it skews all over the place, and which is what I like in movies, like a good bit of a twist.
Oh, it was so, it was the cuts were so jarring in that
Yeah,
movie,
it's
but I
very
loved
fun.
it. Yeah. So what's your favorite subgenre in horror?
Probably slashers or giallos, I would say. I really like Dario Argento, Umberto Bava, I like Mario Bava, all the sort of Italian ones I like. And slashers, obviously, I just like the kind of your kind of very dodgy slashers like Final Exam and Prom Night and Slaughterhouse High and stuff like that. So I think those
Nice.
ones are probably my favorite. I like sort of like knockoffs of like the kind of what they came in the wake of, Halloween and Friday the 13th, those kind of things that I think are really interesting. April
Yeah.
Fool's Day and stuff like that. Those sort of like through the killer's eyes kind of films I really like. But giallos are probably my biggest thing, the most biggest kind of I'm passionate about.
Okay.
I tried to go through, I sat down recently after I went to see Kayla Janice talk about House of the Celtic Woman, her book. And I was like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to look at all these giallo movies that ever is. I don't know why they inspired me, but I went and write them down. I was like, oh no, there's like 1,000 of them. I was like, I'm not going to get through these. I'm just going to give up on that plan. So, but I just think thankfully, when I went through the list, I've seen quite a lot of them. So I'm quite lucky in that. But that's probably my favorite in terms of if I want to sit down and want to watch something I'm really want to be impressed by. I find those films really interesting. The acting, not so much, but I find the kind of their look and aesthetic, and they're always kind of very beautifully filmed and beautiful soundtracks, and they're always very interesting. I just think that's probably my favorite in terms of the kind of films I would go to watch in my kind of viewing, I
Yeah.
suppose.
Awesome. Yeah, that giallo films are definitely a blind spot of mine because, like you said, the acting is not very good.
Yeah,
But
definitely
would
not.
Suspiria, the original one, count
Yes.
as a giallo? Okay, I
I would
watched
say
that.
so, yeah. I would say
Yeah.
so, yeah. Definitely, I would say so. Definitely
Yeah.
that. Maybe it's more of a kind of a supernatural sort of film in reality. But
Okay.
I think it's definitely out there, like that, and like Tenebrae and Burial of the Crystal Plumage and stuff like that. I think they're all the kind of
Yeah.
the best ones. I feel
Okay.
Argento's the kind of like the master of those kind of films.
Yeah.
Not so much later life. I'm not what I've yet to sort of sit down and watch Dark Glasses yet. And, but after talking to Rob from Uncut Podcast, he was like, not a shite. I was like, okay, that's fine. I need to watch it though because I need to be a gentle purist. I need to see even his bad stuff when he means like Dracula. I need to see him at his worst as well as his best. So
I'm trying to see if I've seen any of his other movies. Is Dario Argento, did he do Climax?
no,
No?
that's Gaspar Noé.
Yeah, Gaspar Noé. Yeah,
Yeah.
I saw that, but
May have seen Phenomenon, maybe. Phenomenon with
no, I didn't
Jennifer
see that.
Garner.
I'm looking, he did Trauma, Insane.
Trauma. Yes, yeah,
Yeah,
Trauma,
I've
yeah.
never seen any of those. The only one I've seen is the original Suspiria, so I have some catching
I'm
up
gonna
to
I'll make some list. I'll make a little list for you.
do. All right,
Once
thank you.
I like yeah.
So I might already know the answer to this, but who are your favorite horror directors?
Dario Argento, I like obviously gone John Carpenter. I love Mike Flanagan now. I think he's kind of one of the new guys. I think that's making some really good. I say I just watched Hush last night again for the second time, and I think that's an amazing film because it's very tight in terms of like, because it's like there's only maybe like three or four people in it in the whole film, and most of it's just Katie Siegel and the other gentleman, I don't remember his name, but
John Gallagher Jr.
Yeah, John Gallagher Jr. Yeah. So I think that's an amazing movie. So I think that he's got a lot of stuff to, he's got a lot of things to go forward with. I really like Midnight Mass. I like the Haunting series. Wasn't big. I'm not a biggest fan of the Midnight Club. I thought it was okay, but
yeah,
I find it a little bit, maybe a little bit childish for me. Maybe a little bit too. Are You Afraid of the Dark? And I think a bit too goosebumpsy.
Yeah,
which my girlfriend loves. Yeah, so I think that those. I think who else would really like? I like Mario Bava. I like David Cronenberg. I would say those are probably, and then. Is it Pat? I'm probably going to price it. Is it Pascal Laugier? I think they did Martyrs. That's another one of my favorite movies.
That's your favorite. That's one of your favorite movies. Oh my god!
I would say so. Yeah. I love that movie. Like, I wouldn't say it's like easy to watch, or it's not something I can put down on. I can watch a million times, but like The Thing. But it's like it's certainly a movie that I think is an amazing piece of cinema.
I'm trying to look up who. Yeah, Pascal. Yeah, Pascal Laugier.
Yeah.
That was a fun movie to watch.
It's hard. It's a hardcore movie, and I think it's. I've reading a review about recently, and they're talking about like, it's just, it's not a movie that you can really sit down and enjoy, in a way. It's more of an experience movie, more of a kind of movie that you want to see because it's such an interesting and fucked up movie. But it's not something you can go back to a million times and like oh, let's just stick this on. Let's put Martyrs on and like have some popcorn. It's it's a hard movie to swallow. I remember showing it to my girlfriend. She's like, well, bring some horror movies over to the house one night. And we were going to early days of us going out. And I brought that over. And our friend was just like, what the fuck? So I don't think I endeared her to me at that point. But no, I think my girlfriend kind of quite enjoys of the pushing I have of getting into kind of horror movies and pushing the boundaries a little bit. As I say, I'm not a big fan of extreme, so Martyrs is probably the most extreme that would really go.
Okay.
In terms of those kind of movies, though, I have seen some kind of more fucked up movies. Like I've seen a Serbian film, which is
okay.
And I've seen Union Centipede, I suppose, which is kind of classed as sort of an extreme film, but it's more kind of campy and daft, I guess.
Okay. I haven't seen a Serbian film or Human Centipede. I will probably never watch either.
Yeah, what? I mean, it's hard to see to come off here and go, I'll recommend watching him because I don't think you really need to watch them, but
yeah.
I can't think, I mean, in terms of, like, just to kind of go on off a tangent here, talking about Gaspar Noé, Irreversible, I don't know if you've ever seen that before.
I haven't. I recommended it to one of my friends who likes really extreme horror movies. And he was like, that was awesome in like a dark way. And I found I found the DVD for sale in a thrift store. And I was like, you want me to buy this for you? He's like, it's the best. He didn't say it was the best. But he was like, it was wonderful. I was like, you're sick. I haven't seen it.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, again, it's another film that I don't think that.
Yeah.
I think from a film fan's point of view, I think it's a good film, and it's very well directed, and it's, you know, really gorgeous in terms of the way it looks and cinematography. But again, it's very hard going. I remember actually I've seen it with my friend. I had it on DVD years and years ago, maybe about 20 years ago. Went to see it in his house. He's all going to put us on, and I remember like the whole way through the movie, he was fine with everything that happens, and like there's like sex dungeons. There's like obviously there's sexual abuse, and the only thing that he had found disagreeable was at one point you see Vincent Cassell's pubic hair. He said, "Why'd you have to see that?" I was like, "What do you like? We've sat through this whole movie of like we're just graphic violence, and you just don't want to see some Frenchman's penis." And he's like, "No, it's disgusting." I was like, "All right, well, you need to get your priorities right, mate."
Yeah. Have you ever watched Funny Games?
I have watched Funny Games. Yes, I've watched both of them. And I love them both. I like the American one is really good.
Yeah, I've only seen the American one. I found it for sale in a thrift store.
Yeah.
So I bought it. That's a rough watch too. I own it now, but I'll never probably watch it again.
Yeah, so I think I've watched it. I've watched it a couple of times, and I own it. But again, yes, yeah, it's these films are kind of harder to sort of to say that I love in a sense. Martyrs I do love because it's one of the first kind of extreme films that I really got into, in terms of those kind of French films like that, and Inside and Frontiers, and what's the other one? Calvaire, I think it's called. I think it's called that. A kind of strange, kind of strange, weird sort of folksy kind of French film, but I just think that one's kind of stood out because it's got an interesting concept, and it's kind of the ending's so like weirdly vague and interesting. I think it's just something that kind of sticks in your head. But again, films like, you know, like you can watch films like Serbian film because you're sort of enticed by it a little bit. You're like an illicit again, we're talking about, but yeah, it's not films you kind of watch all the time constantly, and I just. I've got people with people that we are kind of tangentially know from the podcast, like Zoe Rose Smith and Amber from Horn Blood Fire, and they watch them those films all the time. And I'm like, how can you fucking do that? I'm just like, why? Like, what makes you want to sit down at night and go, I'm just gonna watch some utter brutal violence, and
Ooh.
I just think it's icky.
Yeah, definitely. What did I watch? Oh, I've heard people compare the new movie Speak No Evil to Funny Games. Have you watched Speak No Evil yet on
Yes, I
Shudder?
have. I've watched it on Shudder. I suppose it kind of is a little bit like that, but I think it's a bit more. No, I think Funny Games is a bit more, maybe a bit more brutal, a bit more interesting. I think Speak No Evil was really good, and it was quite kind of bleak. That's kind of one of these kind of enders where it's very kind of brutal at the end, but it's in very very bleak, and it sort of takes quite a big turn, but. I suppose it kind of feels like because it's very European. I think it's the accents that kind of pushes that along a little bit. It's a scene like European guys have been like fucked up. I think it's always going to have a sort of a comparison to Funny Games. Yeah, I think so.
That movie, it just bored me until like the last
Really? Yeah.
15 minutes. I was just like,
Yeah.
why are you staying? No, leave the bunny
Yeah, that's what
go.
it was. I was like, why are you? Like, you are too good of a parent.
Yeah, the
Yeah,
bunny does
like
not
I like
matter. Keep
scream,
going.
scream, scream all you like. When I'm not gonna get murdered. Thank you much. We're gonna leave these kind of crazy bastards, but well behind. No, yeah, I was definitely like at the times. I was like, why are you still there? Why are you still there? It's very stressful, but at the same time, it's. I don't think it's the most amazing film, but I think there's kind of plus points to it. It was definitely like a bit more pacey later on in the film. There wasn't much happening between the kind of first bits and when you find out certain stuff in the house. So I think it's like I think I know where you're coming from.
So you're the co-host of the podcast Road to Nowhere with one of our
Yes.
past guests, Andy Connor. Do you
Yes.
want to tell everyone who's listening about the podcast and how you came up with the idea for it?
Well, it was basically we had a mutual friend called Chris, who does a podcast called the 90-Minute Cynic about kind of Celtic Football Club. And he's obviously a big kind of movie fan. We used to kind of constantly watch movies all the time. We're always going to go to FOP and buy Arrow videos and just be like, right, who's got the next one to watch for us to watch? We'd all pick a group of us. And then we sort of lost touch a little bit. And then one day he kind of went, I've got this guy, Andy, who wants to do a podcast. Me and Chris have previously done a wrestling podcast. He's like, I think you'd be a good fit for it. I went, okay, cool, awesome. And then so we came together with a few other guys. Kind of bounced ideas off each other, and I think it was Andy came up with the idea of like, why don't we do it this way? Everything's connected into this, and I thought it was kind of an interesting idea, another kind of conceit to have for the podcast to be a little bit different. So I think there's so many. I don't know if you know, there's a lot of horror movie podcasts out there, or movie podcasts at all. There's a few, not as much. I think there needs to be a bit more, but he kind of came up with the idea, and it was originally just quite a few of us. It was maybe like four. We have five guys, I think, at one point on the very early episodes, but then they sort of fell away, and it was just me and Andy, and we sort of started building on that, and then we've obviously got Direct to Nowhere as well, where we talk to guests about their favorite directors and their films, which you're going to hopefully, gratefully, going to come on at some point, which can be awesome. But yeah, so it's a case of just like we sort of were the last survivors of like a kind of big group of people. And just became sort of friends and sort of like started a bit more pushing it. So I think we've been a bit more serious recently and trying to do more stuff and like get some kind of cool people on. We've had some awesome guests, and we've got, you know, we've got our Batman episode coming up on Tuesday, which is quite obviously going to be quite bittersweet considering Kenan Conroy recently passed away. But yeah, we've put our schedule up for like next September or something mad like that.
Oh wow!
Just because we've got like, because we're so like, we've connect our films so quickly, yeah, and so easily, we kind of just go, right, well, we had like a big like hour or 2 hour conversation going like, right, well, where can we go now, next one. So we go there, we go that way. So the interesting part of it is basically, if you don't know the conceit of the podcast, is that every podcast episode leads into another one by an actor. So we say, for instance, we've had Body Bags with Mark Hamill in it. Next one is obviously going to be Mask of the Phantasm, again with Mark Hamill as a Joker in it. Then we're going to go from that, from Dick Miller, who, you know, is a huge character actor, being Gremlins, etc. We're going to go in and speak about Chopping Mall, which I've never seen before, which is going to be quite fun for me because it's a kind of sci-fi slasher movie, which I should have seen by now, but I haven't. So I'm kind of feeling bad about that. But yeah, so every film sort of feeds into each other. So I think it's going to kind of come across, we keep going round and round and round. So IMD is a very handy thing to have nowadays to find out who's been in whatever film. But yeah, so it's allowed us to sort of book our guests and book our podcast going forward for quite a long time. And I think it'll go ad nauseum until we get bored of it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Until we decide, like, until we get a stumbling block where we find someone who's like, oh, well, where can we go with this person? We don't. So it's kind of like a sort of a 60 degrees of Kevin Bacon sort of thing, but everything connects and everything else. So, funnily enough, we're not covering Kevin Bacon yet, but we will do it at one point, I'm sure.
I love it. That could be your last episode in the
day. Yeah, that's exactly. That's really cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it's a very cool concept for our podcast, and I'm really excited to come on Director to Nowhere and talk about Mike Flanagan. That's awesome. So, can you tell me about, you mentioned this before, mm-hmm. Can you tell me about the time when you think you saw a ghost?
I think I see ghosts all the time.
Okay, well, tell me about that, because that's so interesting.
I think it's just a kind of, it's a lot of times when it's warm, and it's not very warm in Scotland, mind you.
Yes.
But it's in our old house, when we stayed with my girlfriend's dad, I would see people like the side of the bed. I remember specifically seeing almost like a kind of warrior guy with like a big sort of staff, like a spear. Mm-hmm. I've seen old women like at the edge of the bed, like in sort of like a kind of like a kind of hoodie jacket, like an old hoodie sort of jacket, like in a peacoat. I have sort of like it happens with a lot of my stepfather. He has a lot of things like that as well. Like he sees people all the time, and I don't know if you could even. I think it maybe comes down to either being like half asleep, or it has to be half asleep, or I'm actually seeing things, which is. Or really bad medication, perhaps. But I don't. It's very strange. Like my girlfriend never sees anything like that, or never hears things like that. But I'm like quite conscious of things like that, I suppose. And I think it's maybe just the horror fan in me. Maybe just I've just watched too many. Watch Poltergeist too many times. Watch Ghost Watch too many times, and I'm just like wired on to like in the dark. I've just see things. I think it's down to that. I think it's just down to. Being very aware of ghosts and part of the paranormal, and my girlfriend watches tons of that stuff all the time. I've grown up with kind of being sort of afraid of things like that, and quite kind of afraid of like aliens. There was a specific, I remember very, very vividly, there's like a weird documentary about aliens, like alien abductions on the BBC maybe. And I remember them just talking about like playing tapes back, and I've been really freaked out by it. They were playing tapes of it recorded of like aliens talking, which is obviously complete bullshit, obviously, but I just remember it being very vivid, like them whispering, and I was like, I think it's so scary, like, so I think that's probably something I've always kind of like been quite, I talked to obviously before about like kind of ghost films being possibly the ones I find the most scariest, even playing like kind of scary games, I find like that's gravity kind of ghost games, or even like things like Resident Evil, where it's kind of quite scary, kind of corpse of zombie stuff, I find that quite weird and kind of jump scary, but yeah, ghosts is kind of like a thing that I'm sort of used to seeing now. Anytime it gets directly warm in the house, or I'm half asleep, or I've not had a lot of sleep, I just tend to see things. So, are they there? I don't know. If you know, are they in my imagination? I don't know, because I'd like to know. I would love to know. It'd be interesting. I find all that stuff quite interesting. Not enough to watch like Ghost Adventures or
Yeah.
weird shit like that on a travel channel, but
Oh, that's super interesting.
I don't know. It's just a very strange thing. Like my girlfriend thinks it's very odd that I would see things, but like yeah, it's very like into watching those types of things and believing those types of guys that talk about like EMP and stuff like that. I'm like, well, if you don't know why you watch this stuff when you think that like your boyfriend's a nutter.
Oh,
Because he sees things, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, you could just have a sixth sense.
I
So
could have, yeah, I could be like Joel Osment. This like we covers over myself like
yeah, you see dead people.
that.
Have you ever had an experience where you saw something and you were scared?
I remember like very vividly. I remember like having a night in the older house where I was having a nightmare and I saw something and I was so sure I was awake. I remember trying to get out of my room and my girlfriend like woke up with me like literally at my door to our bedroom rattling the sort of the door to get out. And I obviously got out of my bed and like that freaked me out the most, I think, is the fact that like I'd had a nightmare, I was scared, I'd seen something. I got out of my bed, like not awake, and I woke up at the door, like literally that, like you know, my face to
Yeah.
face with the door, like trying to get out, like screaming, which
Oh.
is kind of like that was the most scariest thing about it. Like
Yeah.
I definitely seen and like very early on my girlfriend. This is like scary, but also quite funny at the same time. Very early on, my girlfriend came to stay in my old flat, and we were first sort of going out, maybe like a few months into us going out. I woke up and like almost like kind of a Pennywise thing. There was like a balloon above her head, like almost like sort of like
Yeah.
looks like the shaped balloons kind of thing of her
Yeah.
face, like floating above her head. And it was so vivid
Oh,
that
wow.
I was literally petrified. I was like, wouldn't mind because it was like floating about, and I was like. And this is like way before it came out on I should say the remake came out. It's like so vivid and so scary. Like I know that's like the daftest thing to be scared of, but it was like so like real to me. It was so like so vivid and so like plain in plain sight. They just scared the living shit out of me. She found it funny, but she was like. I was like, you don't realize how like scary that actually is to see like something floating above your head, like you know, like I'm used
Yeah.
to seeing it, you know, the clown when it was Tim Curry, so it really reminded me of that. So that's very very scary. That was probably the most scared I've ever been in terms of a kind of encounter. I use question marks, bunny ears there.
So you're in Glasgow, Scotland, and there's a
Yes.
lot of history there, and some of it's dark. Have you
Yes.
ever visited any of the haunted spots in Glasgow?
No, I don't. I've been to. My girlfriend's been up to the Necropolis. I've not been there before, which is quite a famous graveyard, which you see in Batman.
Okay.
The sort of end scene, they drive through the Necropolis at the end, very end with him and Catwoman. I've been to stuff in Edinburgh, dungeons and stuff like that, like the kind of catacombs and stuff that we have there. And that stuff's interesting, and I think that's there's a not. Trying to find as much in Glasgow. I mean, I've been to kind of scary things in Glasgow, but not kind of Scottish horror stuff, really. Scottish kind of scary historical stuff. But Glasgow has kind of a rich history, like the Gorbals Vampire, which is like a very kind of folksy sort of tailwind of the kind of I think the 1920s maybe. About look at this kind of got this guy ran about the street circle in Glasgow, and the a kind of sort of a. Not really a rundown area now. It's quite a kind of poshish area now, the Gorbals, but it's sort of like a just off the city centre. This place called the Gorbals, which is kind of like sort of when you're going into sort of the south side of Glasgow. There's meant to be the rumour to be a kind of guy that was has sort of like teeth and chased off kids, and you were like sort of like what do you kind of compare it to? Sort of the kind of book, a sort of boogeyman, I guess, of Glasgow.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was like enough, and it was like I think there's like somebody else called the Catman of Hamilton, which is like meant to be a guy that's completely he's kind of shrouded in darkness, and he's like pretends like a panther.
Oh, okay.
I
Huh,
don't I
interesting.
don't know. I think that's just more of a strange man than with anything, but he exists. He and I've there's been pictures of that guy, but the Gorbals vampire not so much. But that's the it's we're obviously very lucky to have kind of. Some history, they don't knock it down here in Glasgow, but
Yeah.
yes, there's a lot of kind of places to kind of kick about and stuff, and lots of like interesting stories to tell. Scotland on the whole is quite, has a lot of kind of scary history.
Yeah, I have not made it to Glasgow or Edinburgh yet, but I really want to
You
visit.
should.
When you keep saying or keep referring to Batman, are you referring to the Batman that came out earlier this year
I'm talking to yeah
or?
the Matt Reeves one. So
Okay.
that's like, so the one we're recording on Tuesday, I was talking about earlier, but the podcast was is Mask of the Phantasm, which is
Okay.
the animated one with Kevin Conroy. The
Okay.
one they filmed in Glasgow, the Necropolis, was the new one, the Matt Reeves one, which has got a lot of it's filmed in Glasgow. Same with the did with Batgirl, but that one obviously later day, unfortunately.
Okay.
I didn't get to see, didn't get me Michael Keaton and talk about Beetlejuice with him, which is unfortunate, but or how much I love the first two Batman movies more specifically. But yeah, so like they filmed a lot of it here.
Wow. I didn't know
So
that.
that's kind of cool. Yeah, they film a
Yeah.
lot of films here. I think they get mad tax breaks here. So the new Indiana Jones film was filmed here,
Oh,
or
okay.
parts of it was for New York were recorded here.
Yeah.
And I say Batgirl, Fast and the Furious,
Oh, okay.
and oh, well,
All
World War
movies
Z as
I've never
well.
seen. What?
If you see the main bit in World War Z, where
Yeah.
everything kind of kicks off at the beginning, that's Glasgow.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's a place called George Square, which is like, or it's just kind of off there that way, is where you see them all running about when the kind of
Yeah.
zombies start kicking off.
Yeah.
That's
Oh, okay.
George Square. So you can see Glasgow tangentially where I live, I guess so.
Nice. Oh, very cool. I did not like the Batman movie. It was too long.
No, I loved it. It's so good. I thought it was really
Oh,
interesting.
I was
But
like,
that's
this is
me. Like,
not.
I'm just like more Batman content. That's what I like. I
Yeah.
just want more good one.
Yeah.
More Batman.
So an article came out back in 2020 that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was the case?
It's streaming, isn't it? I think it's streaming. As we've got to see, like, and because it forces us to kind of go, well, sites like Shudder, I think Netflix come out with good stuff. And just maybe just being like, right, well, I'm gonna buy some movies in and just going like, we're not getting to see stuff in the cinema as much at that time. I'm trying to think of what there was as much stuff as it was, because when it was kind of shutting down, we didn't get to see stuff. So I think a lot of directors were kind of putting out stuff like films like Host and stuff, that kind of
Yeah.
which is what the kind of the sort of perennial lockdown movie when I see it, is because it's making a use of that sort of atmosphere and that time frame to kind of make something really interesting. So I think Jed Shepard made amazing film with that. I think it really just comes down to streaming. I think sites like Shudder have just done amazing business by just putting as much content on as possible, making it kind of cheap-ish to watch stuff. I think it's probably that. I think it's mostly because just we are insular people a little bit. We're not creatures of, going out all the time. Certainly I'm not. I'm a boring bastard. So I think it's just more so about like we're kind of quite happy to be watching films in the dark in the house. If we can't watch them in the cinema, we'll watch them in the house and we'll just kind of pore over every detail. And I think that's we are kind of very, very lucky to have, as many kind of cool sites like Screambox, Shudder, Prime. I think that's if we didn't have these things, I don't think we'd be doing as good in terms of, and that's across the board, it's not just horror fans, but I think because we get to there's such a breadth of like things like Audible as well. I thought you guys have Audible, and I take it off you. You must have that. And just being able to like read books and read horror books, and there's so many great titles you can read. And I think there's a lot of stuff about, obviously, with new directors coming out, a lot of horror content now. I think horror's kind of hit a boom in terms of like the kind of content we have now, especially with series stuff like that. Obviously, like we talked about Mick Flanagan before, where we binge watch those kind of shows and enjoy them. Things like Midnight Mass and Haunting of Bly Manor, not so much now, but watching the kind of Midnight Club and Cabinet of Curiosities. We just have so much stuff at our disposal. I think before, I think when I listened to your podcast before, there was kind of a talk of kind of counterculture with
Yeah.
horror fans, but I don't feel that as, I think our counterculture has become more of a bigger mainstream thing. I think horror is a bit more palatable now than it was before, certainly in the 80s and 90s when I was kind of coming up and watching them, those kind of things. But I think there's still, but with it becoming more mainstream, I think our community's got a lot better. Thankfully, through doing the podcast, and we've kind of got a lot of friends. We've made a lot of friends. Obviously, I've got to come on here and talk to you horror with you. So that kind of, it's a big testament to having like such cool people doing good content. Horror podcasts is on a big boom as well. So I think we've had such a blast of the community. And now we're like things like just in the UK as well, like Soho Horror Fest and Fright Fest and Grim Fest, I think just the other day. There's so much places for us to go now to share and sort of love of horror and love of like the sort of scary stuff that, you know, we shouldn't really be watching, and getting to see such cool things, and like especially with things like I know Twitter's dying, but I think we're just so blessed with such an amount of like content and the great movies, I say podcasts, books. I think we're just so happy to be in a good position in terms of us becoming a bit more, not mainstream, but certainly a bit more coming together, I guess, a little bit more.
Yeah.
Well, certainly I've noticed. I'm sure it's been there for a long time, but it's been more of an easier thing with the age of the internet, I think, and age of streaming. We can always can talk about, you know, the newest movies that are coming out. And because movies are getting put straight back onto like streaming and stuff now, it's a lot easier for us to kind of consume horror movies, I think, now.
So how do you decide what you want to watch when you're just hanging out looking for a horror movie to watch?
Mostly it's either sitting, going through my Shudder list, or I've got a Letterboxd list as well of stuff I want to watch. So that's generally so I'm kind of trying to kick off something off my list.
Yeah.
Like, what have I not watched yet? What do I need to kind of watch? Or maybe it's a kind of case of like, a lot of times I say, if you're talking about Twitter, I think a lot of people are going like, I should watch this is on demand, or I've just watched this, or it's like, it's sharing that sort of knowledge a little bit. Mm. I think it's mostly just, actually, my Shudder list is quite expansive, so I was working my way through that and just seeing what's even new on Shudder and what's new on. I'm not a shell for Shudder, by the way, just in case. I'm not in a Shudder t-shirt like going, oh, Shudder is really good. You should buy it. It's like, blah, blah, blah. I think it's just, yes, I've made kind of curated lists of like stuff I need to watch. I kind of tend that to do a lot of things. I used to have, you know, in front of me a big kind of board with like, you know, what do you call them? Memo tape? No.
Yeah. Like, post-its.
No. Post-its, yeah, post-its. Yeah. and I was just like basically flicking them off, basically which ones I'd watched. But I think that's kind of the biggest thing. And I'm quite lucky to, I've not looked at my bank account, but I've got a lot of stream. I've signed up to a lot of streaming stuff. So I'm quite kind of happy when it comes to like stuff I can go and watch. And thankfully, you know, a lot of times it's mostly either stuff for the podcast, or it's either stuff for like I'm doing reviews for, or yes, it's most of the stuff I'm watching. But I occasionally kind of sneak my own little guilty pleasure watching. You know, I watched The Thing because it's 40th anniversary of that. Yeah. You know, I watch my kind of go-to stuff every so often, and I watch my kind of, obviously coming to Christmas, I'll be watching my Silent Night, Deadly Night, and Christmas, Bloody Christmas, I think that's coming out soon as well. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Awesome. We went into this a little bit before, but what are the horror movies that you won't watch at all or that you won't watch ever again?
I think, just the extreme stuff, I think. I think, you know, I don't see myself watching Martyrs again. I don't see myself watching things like Inside, Begotten, those kind of films. I just don't, I think once I've watched them, that's it for me. I kind of don't need to kind of see them again because there's no sort of enjoyment from them. I can watch like films like Reanimator, which is another one of my favourite movies, horror movies, I should say. I can watch that again because there's like there's sort of joy in it, there's like daftness, and it's kind of silly as well, it's kind of scary and stuff, but yeah. You can't really watch these movies again, and I find it hard. I'm really interested to find out, to speak to someone who watches that kind of stuff kind of constantly, and or watches, you know, those films again and again. Like, I remember Andy recently had to watch the Human Centipede movies, and again, I just have no interest in watching them again. I've seen them, that's it. I kind of push them down again. I just go, right, okay, I've had my fill with them, I'll just kind of move on. I don't find it very interesting. Once the shock's over, there isn't really anything there. I may be interested, maybe films like Antichrist or something like that, or, you know, the House of Jack, but maybe because there's a certain amount of filmmaking in them. Mm-hmm. If you're going to watch, like, what's that fucking one that's like everybody talks about? Like Vomit Party, I think it's called. There's a film called Vomit Party.
Oh, ew.
Which is about like people vomiting. And I was like, what, after you go of the shock of people doing, of watching that film, why would you go back and go, do you know what I'm going to watch this now? Like an old festive festive round of vomit party. No, those kind of films that I like, once I've seen them, I would never go back to them because they're just, not that I have an issue with them at all in terms of the way they are made. I think, but 90% of them are just, oh, here's a shocking thing. Here's where somebody's penis gets chopped off. That's it. And it's kind of, that's your movie. So yeah, I don't think those are the kind of films I would really go back and watch. They're not really, I think a lot of times when it comes to horror films, I want sort of a certain level of comfort. You know, like I can watch like things like Terrifier because they're stupid, because of the sort of, there's sort of an inherent daftness and silliness to them, but there isn't in these kind of like these films. I don't think they're, I don't know how you feel about those kind of, those sort of extreme side. Is that something you've kind of dipped into yourself?
Yeah, a lot of those movies I don't need to watch ever or again. So,
It's the same.
have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
Yes, I got to see, I'll tell you two, in fact, very quickly. I got to see The Exorcist when it came out, released in 90, 90 something, maybe 97, 98, maybe. I got to see that in the cinema, and that was like probably the one that kind of stands out the most because it was just so. And I've never seen a film like that, you know, witnessing like maybe like, I maybe seen like bits of it, feeling, you know, because obviously Exorcist is one of these movies that was talked about widely when I was younger, but you never got to see it. It's always referenced and stuff, but seeing it really then, and especially we talked about that scene where Reagan, the kind of first Reagan scene, really where she goes kind of mental, and she, the crucifix scene is what I'm talking about. That I remember seeing that for the first time, and like the whole cinema was like dead silent for the whole, and then the minute stopped, like it's, 'cause it just goes straight into like sort of like a sort of a scene of like just a kind of a town sort of thing. I remember I was just kind of burst out laughing because I was so scared. It was like almost like a sort of weird sort of scary release of like, oh my God, it's over. Well, thank goodness kind of thing. But that was like, I would remember it just being like you could hear a pin drop. It was so scary. The other one I'll talk about quickly is me and my mother went to see Orphan, the original one. And like me and mom are very, very, we're kind of, we're arseholes in the cinema. We're very, very effete kind of people when they're going there because we don't like people talking, people eating or anything like that. I can eat sometimes, but like I don't like people talking. It really annoys me. My mom got really angry about it. And I remember it's like a bunch of kids, like teenagers. Obviously, it's a horror, it's just a daft horror movie. To be mom, being horror purists, are kind of like we want to watch this horror film about this dwarven woman. I remember I was like telling them to shut up. They were being so like loud and like garish. And I remember specifically the minute you find out about her being like a small woman, I remember like having to put my hoodie over my face because I was like crying with laughter. And I was like, I can't let these people know that I'm like la I was like trying to stifle laughter. As my mom, we're like, we can't laugh because we've just told these people to shut the fuck up. If we laugh, we're just one of them. We're just one of them. We're one of the common folk. But I remember just like literally like crying with laughter. Like I couldn't like stop. Like my whole body was like just tense. Was like I can't let myself laugh because it was like it's so. If anybody's not seen Orphan, it's like the most daftest reveal because I don't like I like I'm almost surprised how they made a second one because they've sort of given away like the like you can't I can't go back and watch Orphan now because if I didn't know about if I watched Orphan First Kill I'd go well oh she's just a wee woman all right cool okay fine so that's not there's no
Have
that
you not
bit's
watched Orphan First Kill yet?
not watched it yet no not watched it
Oh,
yet
you
no
should. It's good. It's good.
I'm looking I'm gonna watch I'm gonna I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, I like
I'm
it.
looking forward to that, but yeah, that was, those are the most memorable ones I've went and seen a horror movie. Strangely enough, I've seen more horror movies in the house, streaming or VHS or DVD than I have watched them in the cinema. Unfortunately, it's like it's we only get like the kind of main ones. You only get the kind of big sort of blockbustery ones. I think the Smile and Barbarian stuff are different, but you'll have to kind of go out your way to see like maybe the smaller cinemas. We have a place called the Glasgow Film Theatre, which is like a smaller cinema. We'll show like sort of like every so often they'll put like a smaller movie or a smaller horror movie on, but they don't get to see. we'd only get to see the big sort of the conjurings and stuff like that. Every so often, it'll be like maybe it'll be like a showing of this of like Terrifier 2, but it'll be on at like 10 in the morning at like on a Monday, and you're like, well, I can't go because I'm working. So, yeah. So most of my horror reviewing is just in the house, or I say just on DVD or Blu-ray, yeah. I suppose, or streaming.
Nice. So, what are your top five favorite horror movies in 2022?
Wow, I'd say Barbarian's probably the top. I'm trying to, I now have to try and think of which ones have come out this year. I've seen Deadstream.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of other ones. You got me in the spot now. I've been writing stuff down, so I'm just going to try and see if I got it. Oh yeah. So I would say, if I was in no particular order here, I would say probably, yeah, so Barbarian, Deadstream, which I think is amazing. Have you seen Deadstream yet?
I did. I don't like Evil Dead, and I thought this character was so annoying. I hated it.
I thought it was funny. I would say Incantation.
Okay, I haven't seen that yet. That's on my list of things to watch.
That's really good. That's really good. That's awesome. We're number three now. I would say Men. Mm-hmm. And then I'm only putting Men up there because I haven't seen Pearl yet, but I would say X as well.
Okay, cool.
I would definitely think those are my top five. If you put me in the spot, I would say those are my top five.
What horror movies would you say you're most looking forward to seeing in 2023?
I'm trying to think of what we have coming up. What do we have?
Megan, Scream 6, The Nun 2. I'm looking for Cabin.
Evil Dead Rise, I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
Megan, I'm looking forward to because it looks daft.
Yeah.
And I like sort of like every so often there's like a movie comes in, I go, the trailer sort of hooked me in a little bit because it just seems so like, we heard dancing, that was like the biggest thing. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, what? She's like, she takes us this big blade thing and she's like doing like sort of body bopping. I was like, right, okay, I'm kind of in this. Yeah. And I think it's a girl from Get Out as well. I think that she's in that. I'm looking forward to Renfield because obviously Nicolas Cage, amazing.
Yeah.
Best guy ever. What else I'm looking forward to? I don't know if I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to Scream. I think it's called The Last Scream or something like that. Scream 6.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was being called The Last Scream. That's weird. But yeah. I mean, I'm open to it. I'm open to them ending the franchise.
I thought 5 wasn't that bad. I thought it was okay. I had some good bits in it, I think, but I don't think it bowled me over as much as I loved the first two. I think they're amazing, but it's not bad. What else I'm looking forward to? What did I think I was thinking about that? Knocking the Cabin, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that looks really interesting.
I love Dave Bautista. I love Dave Bautista, so.
Yeah.
He's in that. And also Rupert Grint as well, which I'm quite interested about. I'm quite interested to see him in a horror movie. I know he's in A Cabinet of Curiosities, which I'm going to watch later on today, but apparently we're getting the new Exorcist movie, talking about Exorcist. So that'll be either, I don't know. I've talked to Andy about this. I'm very like, after Halloween Ends, I'm very on edge about him doing the Exorcist.
Yeah.
And because it's like, it's meant to be again, like after the first Exorcist, like kind of a sequel to that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why? You're just doing the same thing. Like you're just going to do like, a Friday the 13th movie, which is straight after the first Friday the 13th. Are you going to do this? Like, is that what your legacy is going to be? Just making the sequel to the first movie, basically. So yeah. About like 30 or 40 years later. So yeah, no, I'm not holding out hope for that one. I don't think, but yeah, I mean, there's quite a few films that are kind of coming out. I'm kind of looking forward to. They're going to be quite good.
Yeah. Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
Wow. Well, you said Evil Dead. I don't understand how you can't like Evil Dead. I think it's amazing.
Well, most people like Evil Dead. I don't. I think it's very cheesy. And I think, yeah, I just don't. I don't like it. It's not.
No.
It's too over the top.
It's over the top for you?
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think I've got very pedestrian taste when it comes to stuff. I think, I don't think a lot of people would really gravitate with watching Jello movies a lot as much as I do.
Okay.
Like you said, it's you have to kind of get over bad acting. They're very like, and they're obviously very, very overdubbed. So you can have to get used to that, or reading subtitles is what I prefer.
Yeah.
So, because I'm a snob, obviously. I don't think a lot of people like slashers. People seem to have a really big bone of contention against slasher movies that I love them. I think they're amazing, and I watch any sort of dodgy one that it's kicking about. But I think a lot of people just kind of hate those movies for some reason. They like their kind of Jasons and their Michael Myers ones, but they won't watch, April Fool's Day or Mother's Day, or, you know, those kind of those ones at all. The very dodgy ones. They won't watch Prom Night 2, which is amazing. Everybody should watch that because it's fucking mental. But yeah, so I think that's where the ones that people, I would say most of the time when I talk about horror movies, they don't really seem to like those ones. Especially Andy doesn't seem to like those ones at all. But so we have a bit of a scuff on when it comes to the podcast.
If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Oh my God, that's a hard one. I always kind of take the opinion that of Kurt Russell when he says that if you're going to make a movie remake a movie, you should make a movie that's shit and make it good. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what would work in terms of a shitty horror movie. That's a good question. Oh, I don't know. That's, I probably put him in the spot there. If I think.
What about Terminator 2? It's not a very good movie.
So thanks for having me on, Alison. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. No, I think if I was gonna make, I was gonna remake something, I would try and pick some sort of like.
No,
daft.
I know. Yeah, I was kidding.
I know. Because I would have to end this podcast right now, and end a friendship. Of course, I said can't come to podcast anymore. I don't know. It's hard to say. I think that there's a lot of movies that would. There's a lot. I have more qualms about people remaking films that I love.
Yeah.
And I have about making films that are remaking films that I really enjoyed or thought were shit. They thought they should be being remade again. But yeah, so I think that one's a hard one for me to answer, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
Because I'm a remake purist.
All right. So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
I think Freddy, because at least it'd be funny. No, Chucky. I would pick Chucky.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, is. If he starts any shit, you can just boot him away. You can just—he's like the height of shite.
Yeah.
He's like just a tiny little thing. Like that's why I don't understand about Chuck. I love the Chucky movies, but I don't understand why you don't pick him up and just like launch him. Like just like he's like he can't be that heavy, really, if you think about it. In the grand scheme of things. So, and also it's quite funny. I think we would get on.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays where he's quite woke. and the new Chucky series is quite switched on when it comes to. Rights and transgender rights and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think Chucky. I think Michael Myers should be dead forever now. I'm quite happy having Chucky as my wee pal.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on the show. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and Road to Nowhere?
You can. You can find the podcast at Where Is Nowhere. Nowhere is with a K, nowhere. You can find me at Nowhere Larry again with a K on Twitter. As long as that lasts, as long as Elon lets us stay on for. you can also find the podcast on Road to Nowhere Pod on Instagram. And you can also find my writing on The Geek Show and thegeekshow.com.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we'll find a time for me to come on your show soon. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you much for having me. It's been awesome.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Larry, and thanks again to Larry for coming on. You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod. We're on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and get boosted.